On today's podcast, I have Leslie Lintott with me. Now, Leslie has been working with me in my business for quite a number of years, and she helps me run the online membership. She helps me run the retreats. In fact, she helps me a lot behind the scenes. And without her, I don't know that I'd be doing all that I am today. So thank you for that, first of all, Leslie. And thank you for joining me today. It's been a little bit of a time to persuade you to come on here and talk about things. So what we were going to talk about today was this idea of vulnerability. And that's quite relevant, Leslie, isn't it? Because I guess this is you being vulnerable here.
This is me. Yes, I'm completely out of my comfort zone, I would say. My heart's going beating a bit fast. I had to convince myself to come on this. It was you can do it. I had to dig deep because this is not my natural thing to come on and speak myself about things, about myself, about what I'm doing. So yeah, they don't come easy.
Is that like that is being vulnerable, but that is that a little bit of imposter syndrome there then, do you think? Or is it just shyness, or is it just lack of wanting to do this sort of thing?
I've thought about this a lot. I think for me it is chronic shyness. As a child, I was an only child growing up. My mum was very ill when I was growing up, and it made me, I was quite alone, I think, and I was quite happy with being alone as a child. Obviously, as you go through school, you have to start not being alone. You have to put yourself out there. There's things you have to do. You have to do a presentation. You have to stand up in front of your classmates. And then for me, I was so shy. I would be blushing. I'd blush at the drop of a hat, bright red. I'd get teased, taunted. It just made me want to withdraw from anything where other people are looking at me. So I think that's what it's coming from, more than a sense of imposter syndrome, I think. Makes sense?
Oh, that totally makes sense, because it's one or the other, isn't it, I suppose. But I wonder whether, I know this is not what we were going to talk about, but I wonder if there's a line between being an introvert and being shy, isn't there? You were saying earlier your heart's beating. Well, absolutely. That's where I was, like, I don't know, 8 years ago when I first started doing this or first started talking. Terrible. It was like awful, you know, and it's really pushing you out of your comfort zone, this zone of feeling safe. You're now vulnerable now here in your mind at the moment. But there's a sense of purpose, I suppose, overrides that, doesn't it? And a sense of, well, I know, Leslie, that you've got a lot to share and for other people to listen to. And it's very valuable. So I suppose what's happening now is that you're trying to just slowly override that and step out and say, actually, you know, I've got something to say and it's going to help other people and it's probably going to help me. And actually, why should I sit back and not say anything? So it's just a process, isn't it? But I think that's maybe a classic introvert thing as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, there's a lot of truth in what you've just said there. I think a bit of a side point, but what really helped me last year was when you asked me to do a masterclass on the festival. And I'd come to a decision in my own head that if I got offered anything last year, I was desperate to sort of change my life and do more, be heard more. I thought, if anyone offers me anything, I'm not going to say no. And when you offered that, my first response was, no, run a mile. That's the last thing I'd want to do. But now I'm going to do it. So I said yes. And then normally my response after that would have been, maybe after a week, I might have said to you, actually, you know, Margaret, I'm not sure I actually want to do that. Can I just stick with, you know, just being in the background? I'll help Margot and I won't do a masterclass. But you are so quick at sorting things out that it was live before I had time to do that. And I'm really grateful to you for that, because I spent a year panicking about it, but when I did it, it was such a release, being able to do something and actually survive it, you know, feel that fear, work through it, do something that went okay, you know. And it's so, that's really positive, an affirmation, isn't it, when you do something you're really fearful of, you're scared of, but it goes okay. You can like add that to the pile of, you know, evidence almost that it is okay to be seen. I don't need to keep hiding. But yeah, it's a long process because I'm scared now. Yeah, this is another one.
Yeah, but it's a great process, isn't it? And actually when it's probably very, very encouraging for other people to hear that how you're feeling now, and also that I felt like this a long time ago, and I was the same thing. I remember my first masterclass at, so it was at SWPP with my business partner at the time, and I was just probably almost having panic attacks for in the months leading up to it, because I needed to sort of like, I just couldn't get my head around it. I have to stand up and talk to people, and I had to have it all planned out and have it all scripted and have everything, just to make me feel a little bit secure. Whereas he was just, yeah, I'll be fine. We'll just stand up and talk. But that was probably the first kind of thing where I presented in front of people. But the thing is, it's that evidence, as you said. Yeah, what you do something and then you go, actually, that was quite good. And then if you get a response from somebody, and I think this is probably key for you. If you get a response from somebody saying that really helped me, or I really connected to that, or when we were at the festival, I think because there was a high proportion of ladies who were not using the more technical kit, should we say, and were given the freedom. You gave them permission, didn't you, to just be themselves a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, just sharing a little bit of it's okay to not have all the big camera gear out. You can use your phone. It's okay to just be out there in nature and then just take photos when you want to. It doesn't have to be a competition. It doesn't have to be a race to get something. So it's just a different way, I guess. And it felt really good to be able to do that because I get a lot of value out of doing my photography like that. Yeah, I think it was amazing. The festival was such a fantastic environment where everyone was so supportive, smiling, just helping each other. Everyone was coming out of their shells, feeling they could take part. And that's all down to what you create, I think. And you really bring something very special to those things, which is not to be underestimated.
Thank you. I think part of it is that I bring the people who can support in that role. So yourself and connecting with the people, bringing the people together. So actually, I didn't do that much, but what I did was bring everybody together that had that same mindset. So therefore, your contribution was massively valuable, as was the other people that were doing the other things. So that's how I see it anyway. So, there's which. What I'm trying to say is, you shouldn't underestimate what you do for people. And I do know that when you get a little bit of somebody saying thank you or this helped me, for me, that's what spurs me on and it keeps me going. So I'm wondering if that's the same for you. And I'm wondering how it's helped you. I'm wondering how it's helped you personally to allow this vulnerability in. What do you think about that?
I think it's been key, actually. It's like a revolution when you allow yourself to be vulnerable, because it's all linked to, it's like vulnerability and shame are linked. If you feel you're not good enough, you don't want to be seen, you don't want to risk rejection, you don't want to risk things going wrong, risk failure. But what happens when you shut all that down is that you can't achieve either. You can't connect. You can't, if you're scared of failing, you don't want any emotional pain. You can't allow yourself to love someone fully, to live fully in case it goes wrong. You can't allow yourself to be creative, because being creative is, by its very definition, making something new, isn't it? It's doing something innovative. It's being a little bit different. And you've no idea how that's going to go. It might fail. It might. People might hate it, they might love it. You just don't know. And you've got to allow vulnerability in to do that. Otherwise, you can still create things, but they're not going to be personal. They're not going to be new. They're not going to be relevant to you. They're not going to have meaning, feeling. And I think so for me, allowing vulnerability in, it's allowed me actually to do art. I've spent, more than 40 years of my life looking at my watercolor paints in a blank pad of paper and thinking, oh, I wish I could, I'd love to do that, but terrified of what would happen if I did. And but now I'm happily scrawling away in a sketchbook every day, bits of paper, putting it in the bin, and not worrying about what comes out, not having to be perfect. So it's huge. And I think some of what you said there is the same for you, I guess, isn't it?
I think I learned it quite a while ago, actually. I'm just trying to think. There's two strands here. One is being vulnerable with yourself and allowing yourself to be open and talk about things that are difficult and to be authentic, I suppose, to be true when you're talking to other people, and to not cover it up and say, oh, I'm creating all this great work, and this person's just contacting me for this print, and this is this, it's all going great. So there's that kind of being vulnerable and open with people and saying, actually, it's a bit rubbish just now. I'm feeling a little bit like I'm not sure what I'm doing. You become human then, don't you? That is human to feel these things, these ups and downs, and to be able to communicate that, I suppose, is vulnerable because you feel like you might be at the risk of seeming weak, I suppose. So I came to terms with that a long time ago, and I'm quite probably a little bit too vulnerable sometimes when I talk about things, but I don't mind telling people everything, really, so I just wonder where that started. I'm just trying to think back to where that started. And then there's the other side of what you were saying about being vulnerable in your art. And I hadn't thought about that because that's slightly different. Does that make sense? Is there two different things going on?
So there's a link, isn't there? Because sometimes when we're encouraging people to do their photography and their art, we're kind of saying, put your soul into it. But then at the same time, we're saying, your art isn't you. It's okay to put it out there because, but it might be rejected. And it can get a little bit muddied waters between what's me, what's my art, what are people rejecting. It can feel like if I put a picture up, I quite happily put my photos up now. Less happily do I put my art up. I have to say, I quite often put my art in my stories, so they're only there for a little while. I haven't quite got to the point of putting them on the main feed yet.
Is that just because it's newer to you? Because I'm the same. So I'm the same. I'm not so likely to share my other things like my writing and my painting. Possibly because I'm not getting around to too much of it at the moment. But I think maybe it's just because I've practiced my photography so much over and over and over and over. I feel super confident about it. I'm fine. And it's like, I don't really mind if somebody doesn't like it, doesn't matter. But I probably feel a little bit more vulnerable with my painting, definitely. I'm sort of like, if I put something out there, I'm like, oh, what do people think? So I've got the same thing going on, haven't I?
Yeah, we're not quite as confident in this new thing we're doing. But part of what we're trying to do in the membership and with workshops is for it to be okay to put that out there. But I think it's quite good for people to see. It's difficult for you and for me as well to do that. It's not easy because when you haven't got that confidence in it yourself, it's harder to put it out there. Because it feels it's like a little, it's more of a fledgling, isn't it? It needs a bit more protecting. It needs nurture a bit more. And you're worried about it being hurt if you put it out there too soon. It's a bit like with your children, you have to teach them things and nurture them before you let them off on their own. And it's a bit like that with the art, maybe.
It's different. It's funny, isn't it? Because it's a mix of that idea of practice. Because the idea of practice is that if you were to practice this, if we were to do this every week, soon it'd be like, oh, it's just another podcast. I'll just go and talk to Margaret. Like when I first started going live on Instagram, I never forget that. That was just awful. I had to do it 10 times and delete it because you can do that. I don't know if anybody knows that. You can practice going live on Facebook and you can just go live to yourself so nobody can see it. So that's how I did it, just to get used to it. So that kind of like, I suppose you overcome that vulnerability by just getting used to doing something. Do you think? Do you think that's true for you?
Definitely. I think because it's It's a fear, isn't it? And there's a really good book actually about feel the fear and do it anyway. That kind of idea of our natural instincts is, if we're scared for something, is to run away from it. And that's because, you know, I think we're hardwired, aren't we, for survival, going back, you know, millennia, from when it was a saber-toothed tiger that was out there, not Instagram. But, you know, we needed to have the fight flight, we needed to run. But that part of our brain is really strong. So fear makes us want to run away, doesn't it?
So I've got a question for you. Do you think that those people that aren't vulnerable and they're super confident and they're just out there all the time, what's the difference? What's the difference? Is there a difference in their background to where they've, how they've grown up with maybe a more stable understanding of themselves or confidence? Or is it that the fact that they're extroverts, or is it the fact that there's just not much depth to them as people, or are they hiding?
I think there'll be a mixture of all of those depending on the person. There may be, I think some people will have had sort of upbringing where they are just naturally very self-confident, they have a lot of self-esteem. And then there'll be other people who are the opposite of that, but their defense against that is maybe putting on a mask of being super confident. And it's not a real confidence, it's a shield that they've put up. They've found something that they can be confident in, be really good at, succeed at, and it acts as a shell. So it protects them, but it also, when you've got a shell, it stops connection. You can't connect to someone when they've got a shield up, can you?
Yeah, that's what I was getting to, I think. What I was trying to get to is that you do see a lot of people that are confident and out there and, yeah, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and it's all great, life's great. And I don't feel a connection with them, because you just can't feel an empathy with people like that, because it's not real, is it? I don't think anybody lives like that. So maybe that's what I'm getting at. Maybe that's what I'm driving at. I connect more with people that are vulnerable, and people like you have come along and said, well, actually, you know, this is hard for me to do this. There'll be people listening who have an empathy with you and feel a connection with you because you've been like that, rather than you coming along and saying, I'm great. I've got 5 million Instagram followers, and I love being, you know, talking.
I suppose with coming on from what we've just said, it's about vulnerability. It's essential for connection and for creativity, isn't it?
Yeah. So people will connect naturally with people who are vulnerable. I think that's key. I'm sure there's examples out there, but I wonder what the difference is between the connection is between vulnerability and creativity then.
You were saying about connection there, weren't you? How it's easy to connect with people who feel real and authentic, and therefore, so to be real and authentic, you have to be vulnerable. You're showing your real self, and it's coming down to feeling that you're okay, isn't it? That you are, you know, the I am enough thing. If you feel that, you feel able to share more of yourself, therefore people can connect with you better. And that's like a positive cycle then, you know. You're sharing, it feels difficult, but then you connect more. Yeah.
So it's coming down to that sort of feeling that you are, and I feel like I'm enough, and I don't mind sharing, and I don't mind being vulnerable. Yeah, and I think that people respond to that. But so I suppose to get to that place of being able to do that, there's a little bit of work to be done, isn't there? And that's how it links to being creative, doesn't it? Because to be creative, we have to go, oh, I'm enough as it is, so I'm just going to look at this blank piece of paper and I'm going to put paint on it, and whatever comes out, comes out. And you have to have, it's a lot to do with you as a person, and you're digging deep a little bit, isn't it? These deeper things, which is a lot of the work we did when we did, during COVID, we did an online course called Finding Your Voice. And so all these things that we're talking about today kind of relate to that, because it was about finding your style in photography, and so deep. And it wasn't about like the technicals. It wasn't about the f-stops and the, okay, you'd be a better photographer, because being a better photographer essentially means finding yourself and being at peace with that. So that's why my thread of thought is going through, yeah, how creativity connects to vulnerability.
Totally. Yeah, I loved what you just said. Yeah, definitely nailed it. Yes, you need to know how to use your camera. Yeah, you need to know how to put the paint down. But the real thing is knowing yourself, becoming more, you know, self-aware and comfortable with yourself. All of those things are key, because that's what we're trying to tap into. When you're saying you're trying to find your voice, you've got to know who you are. You know, you won't find your voice in f-stops and things like that. Yes, you need to know them, yeah. But the real work is the photographer's eye, how you see things. And that's all about who you are. And that's where you get your individual style, because we can all go to the same place and we will look at different things. I mean, you know, when we go on workshops, people will, you know, will take them to a location. It's amazing the amount of different versions that come through. What people have related to, what they've seen. You know, some people will see a bigger vista. Some people will be looking at the blade of grass, or, you know, it's all different things in that same space. And it's all down to who you are and how you feel. And that's where the work is. And then it can be translated by the medium and the technicals.
Yes, it's like clearing the blocks, isn't it? So you've got the ability to look back into your life. I was talking to you about this a few weeks ago, and I had one of those. I have sometimes have these moments when I go, oh, it's all clear, it's all crystal clear. I have these moments. They don't last very long, so if I don't write them down, I do forget them. So I think I wrote something to you, and I was saying, oh, I was in the middle of writing my new book that is actually due to be delivered today, so that's amazing. And I was writing something about the history and where my photography in the water started. So what I did was I went to the cupboard, and I was like, I knew that in the cupboard was my old sketchbooks from university. So we're talking a long time ago. And I knew they were all in there. And I thought, well, I'll pull them all out and I'll start to realise, actually, it's all there. It's all there in your past, in your history, in your the writings that you've done, and the things that you've collected, and the books that you've read. For me, it's quite powerful, because I'd written it down all my life. So I have this documented what I was interested in, and you can trace it back. So you can trace it back right to the age of 19, when I had these books all about the sea, and all these writing about the sea, and this poetry, and pretty quite powerful stuff, actually, when you look at it through my eyes. But we all have that through our lives, and this is what I feel very strongly about. A lot of people just can't see it, and the reason that they can't see it is because of these things that have blocked them, like perfectionism, criticism, being laughed at when you were a kid on the stage. All of those things we've just got to almost excavate, and vulnerability comes into play there, because you've got to be vulnerable to actually do that work. So once that's excavated, you're left with this history of you, right back to when you were a child, and what you loved, and what you loved doing, or what you just loved looking at, or the feelings, whatever it is. We're all very different. But in order to get back to that, we have to excavate. And that's where being vulnerable comes in. Is that mad thread that I've just gone on? And then I think I wrote that to you and said, oh, so what we need to do is we need to help more people do this. And we can, let's do it in the membership community in July, August, September, 3 months over the summer, because I've got a better time. And let's take more people through that process. In, obviously, you're not going to get there in 3 months, but, you know, you can start that process going. And so I wrote it all down, and then I just remembered that today, because I'm so glad I wrote it down.
That's amazing what you've just said. That makes so much sense. You said you thought it was a rambling thread, but it made perfect sense. Trust me. uncovering and sort of excavating or taking off of layers, taking off of protective layers that we've built up over the years to protect our little inner child, isn't it? That little fledgling, you know, the things that we want to do, you know, we've covered it up with all these other layers of things that have been imposed by, you know, as you say, criticisms or way we've been brought up, all those things that just stop us being our true selves because we feel that we should be something other than what we are. And so I think that's a fantastic idea. I love what we're going to try and do in the membership. And you're right, it's not a 3 month job, but what you can do is give people some tools, some ideas, some starting points, and some positive affirmations of how it's helped you. So yeah, I think it'd be great.
I am looking forward to it. So you can just check out the website. You can just join us, even if you just want to join for a few months just to do this with us. Please do. It's you can cancel any time. So yeah, check it out. It's on, it'll be on the link. So Creative Haven membership. And one thing that just sprang to mind as you were talking, Leslie, just to finish off, is that I remember that when I first started going on podcasts and speaking, I would always think, I remember my first one, it was with Paul Sanders on the Todcast. Todcast isn't going anymore, but at the time I was he asked me to come on. I was like, oh, me, really, really? And then I thought that I made absolute no sense whatsoever, and that Paul was speaking really eloquently and was great at being on a podcast, and I was just absolute nonsense. And you're probably thinking that now, you probably think, oh, Margaret's so articulate. But I don't know that I'm making any sense. Is that right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it feels like whatever I say is rubbish that's coming out. I've no idea if I'm making any sort of sense at all. But when I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, yes, that's it. That's yes, and sort of got it. Yeah, really understand it. But yeah, I've no idea what I'm saying.
But I'm just telling you that because it's so common, and I know that that's what happens. So you are making sense. You sound great, and I think people will really, really appreciate the fact that you've come on to talk to me today. That the thing to do is to go back and listen, and then you say, "Oh, I wasn't that bad after all. I sounded okay. I said one thing that was valuable," and then you've got evidence in your bag there, and then you can go and do. You go, oh, well, I could do that again. And then each time you just get really much more confident because you do have a lot to give. So I think that's the one thing, the one takeaway from this is that it's important to for some people to be vulnerable and speak up because you've got a message to share with people that is really valuable and important. So that's a good enough reason, isn't it, to overcome this?
Yes, yeah, I think so. And that's a really good tip to listen back to this because my thoughts were, I'm never going to listen to that. It's going to be buried.
It's not. Brilliant. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for joining me. We'll be hearing more from Leslie when she returns to the podcast. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking that step, Leslie. It was lovely talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It's, yeah. My heart rate's come down now, and it's been actually really lovely. I've really enjoyed chatting to you. So, thank you. Thank you very much.